Hi, this is Mark Stein, welcoming you to a special audio edition of our Song of the Week, celebrating the centenary of Johnny Mercer, a man who wrote a few little old songs.
First you write a little old tune, real easy, not as hard to play as, let's say, Parcheesi, real simple chords in the key of C. Next, you add some little old words onto it. Try to get some people who sing to do it.
Then if they say, why have you got a hit?
You act noncommittal and say, just a little old tune.
A Little Old Tune by Johnny Mercer, Little Old Words by Johnny Mercer, and Little Old Vocal Rendition by Johnny Mercer. It didn't always come easy, but by the time he was up there at the mic singing it, it certainly sounded easy. Johnny Mercer was born 100 years ago, November 18th, 1909, and we're going to be marking his centenary all this month at the Stein Online Song of the Week. Mostly in our usual formula, every Monday morning we'll look at a big hit song of his, but there are so many big hit songs in his catalogue that even devoting a whole month to Johnny Mercer, we're only going to be able to skim the surface of it. So I thought, as we did with his friend Carl Sigman a few weeks ago, we'd have a little audio intro to the catalogue. Johnny Mercer was a multi-talent. He's one of the greatest lyric writers the American Songbook has ever produced, as all the composers who worked with him will attest. And when none of those composers were to hand, he was quite happy to sit down and write the tune himself. He was a pretty fair composer, not as good a composer as he was a lyric writer, but a pretty good composer nonetheless. He was a successful singer. He was a big pop singer in the 1940s, had a ton of top 10 hits, including a handful of number one records, and not just of his own songs. He wasn't a kind of prototype singer-songwriter, just making records of his own songs, but if he happened to hear another song he took a fancy to, he'd go into the studio and make a record of it, and a lot of those records did pretty well over the years. And aside from all that, he founded Capitol Records in 1942, and today it's still one of the best-known record labels in the global music business. So composer, lyric writer, singer, record company executive, any one of those would have been enough for a full-time career, but he managed to do them all. Now, of course, when you're a songwriter, nobody thinks that is a real career, as I'll let Johnny Mercer himself explain.
My wife went to Japan a few years ago with her sister, and she was dancing with a gentleman on the boat, and he said, by the way, what does your husband do? And she said, oh, he's a songwriter. He says, yeah, but what does he do for a living? So maybe this medley will prove it. Lazy bone, sitting in the sun, how you expect to get your day's work done? Never get your day's work done, sitting in the noonday sun. So you met someone who set you back on your heat. Goody, goody, so you met someone, and now you know how it feels. Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to you. Goody, goody for him, goody, goody for me. I hope you're satisfied, you baddie, you. You're just too marvelous for words. That's sad enough, tell enough, I mean they just aren't swell enough.
Johnny Mercer, marvelous with words. As I said, he was born in 1909. And he didn't live out his 70. He was long gone by the time I came on the scene and started interviewing songwriters. But I began thinking about the various composing partners of his I'd known over the years, the ones who'd shared insights into Mercer with me. Henry Mancini, Harold Arlen, Andre Previn, Jimmy Van Heusen, Lionel Hampton. And as I was thinking back on all this, it occurred to me, wow, how many composing partners did he write with? Well, he worked with a ton of them. Here's a random sample. Johnny Mercer wrote songs with Harold Arlen.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well.
Richard Whiting.
Hooray for Hollywood. That screwy ballyhooey Hollywood. Where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pant.
Hoagie Carmichael.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me?
Harry Warren.
Oh, jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those beepers? Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those eyes?
He wrote songs with Victor Scherzinger.
Tangerine. She is all they claim, with her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame.
Henry Mancini.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday.
Ruby Blue.
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So I come to you, my love, my heart above my head.
Johnny Mercer wrote songs with his idol, Jerome Kern.
I'm old-fashioned, I love the moonlight. I love the old-fashioned things.
Jimmy Van Heusen.
I took a trip on a train and I thought about you.
David Raxon.
Laura is the face in the misty light. Footsteps that you hear.
Mercer wrote songs with bandleaders like Ziggy Elman.
We meet and the angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard.
He wrote with Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn.
Cigarette holder, which wigs me over her shoulder. She digs me out catting that saddened dog.
Well, Duke Ellington, Henry Mancini, Hoagie Carmichael, Jerome Kern, writing music is what those guys do. But Johnny Mercer also wrote songs with a bunch of other people, including Fred Astaire.
I'm building up to an awful letdown by playing around with you. You're breaking down my terrific builder by treating me as you do. My castle's in the air, my smile's so debonair, my one big love affair. Is it just a flash? Will it all go smash like the 1929 market crash? I'm building up to an awful letdown by falling in love with you.
Music by Fred Astaire, words by Johnny Mercer, written in 1935 in Hollywood. Johnny Mercer wrote songs with Fred Astaire and with Rimsky-Korsakov.
Seem to whirl around in nights, fabulously gay. Nights, candlelight cafe. Nights, my lover dancing in my arms till dawn.
Bright lights, fabulously gay nights, and they were in Moscow when that opera, Sadko, was premiered in 1898. Music by Nikolai Andreevich Rimsky-Korsakov. Words by Johnny Mercer somewhat later. Rimsky-Korsakov, Fred Astaire. Do you know the German composer, Paul Linke? In 1902, he had a big hit in Middle Europa called Glühwürmchen, which is German for the glowworm. And a lady called Lilla Cayley Robinson wrote an English lyric for it a couple of years later. And it was kind of rather stodgy, old-fashioned song. But Mercer loved the idea of it so much, the idea of a song. He loved writing about animals. And he loved the idea of a song about the glowworm. And 50 years later, he put new words to Paul Linke's old tune.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us less too far, we wonder. Love's sweet voices calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below above and lead us on to love.
Music by Paul Linke. We're rambling through some of the wilder shores of the Johnny Mercer catalogue. He has his name on songs written with Fred Astaire, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Barry Manilow.
And when October goes, the snow begins to fly above the smoky roofs. I watch the planes go by.
When October Goes by Barry Manilow and Johnny Mercer. Technically, that's a bit of an involuntary collaboration on Johnny Mercer's part. Manilow decided to set that lyric to music, but then I guess the Rimsky-Korsakov song was an involuntary collaboration on Rimsky-Korsakov's part, in that Mercer decided to put a lyric to Rimsky-Korsakov's tune. But while we've been going through all these composers, Harold Arlen, Hoagie Carmichael, Henry Mancini, Jerome Kern, Duke Ellington, Fred Astaire, Rimsky-Korsakov, Barry Manilow, there is one name we couldn't leave out, and that is, of course, Sadie Vimmerstedt.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I.
Tony Bennett singing a song by Sadie Vimmerstedt and Johnny Mercer. Sadie Vimmerstedt was a widowed lady who worked in a drugstore in Youngstown, Ohio. And if you work in drugstores, you get to hear quite a lot about what's going on around town. And one day, while she chanced to be getting up to speed on some local shenanigans of one kind or another, a thought occurred to her that she thought might make a good song. And she scribbled it down on a bit of paper, actually a sheaf of one of those desktop calendars you often find on a drugstore counter. And she wrote inside a note to Johnny Mercer saying, I want you to write a song for me. The title is I Want to Be Around to Pick Up the Pieces When Somebody Breaks Your Heart. Thank you, Sadie Vimmerstedt of Youngstown, Ohio. And she put it in an envelope and addressed it to Johnny Mercer, songwriter, New York. And amazingly, it got to him. And of course, songwriters get a lot of mail like that as time goes by. And so he didn't do anything with it until he happened to come across the note 2 years later, and he thought, you know, that really isn't a bad idea for a song. So he wrote it up, and he instructed his publishers to give her 50% of the royalties. Now, another year goes by. Mrs. Vimmerstedt doesn't hear anything. She assumes the song's been completely forgotten. One night, she switches on the TV. It's The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and Johnny's special guest is Tony Bennett, who comes out and says, I want to sing a new song called I Want to Be Around to Pick Up the Pieces When Somebody Breaks Your Heart. Johnny Mercer changed Sadie Vimmerstedt's life.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks
breaks your heart. I gotta tell you about this. A lady sent me this title. She worked in a cosmetic counter in Youngstown, Ohio. And I finally wrote the song and I told her we had a record by Tony Bennett. Well, she was thrilled. Well, she's the cutest thing. She writes me letters all the time. But she says, "You've changed my life, Mr. Mercer. You just don't know." I said, she began with saying, "People are coming into the store asking for my autograph." And she says, "Next week I have to go on the radio in Cleveland." And 2 weeks later, she says, "I'm going to Cincinnati. I'm going to be on a... I'm getting to be so famous." Finally, she came to New York, and she was on to Tell the Truth or something. Now she goes to Europe, and she said, "Mr. Mercer, I got to work every day next week getting in." She said, "I'm tired. I'm going to get out of show business." And that's when you'll discover that revenge is sweet. You sit there applauding from a front row seat when somebody breaks your heart like you broke mine.
Well, he turned it into a kind of showbizzy anecdote there, but he did change Sadie Vimmerstedt's life. A few months before she wrote to Johnny Mercer, her husband had died, and the family barely had enough money to bury him. I think the first royalty check she got, a couple of months after that Tony Bennett record came out, was for $80,000, which was nothing to sneeze at in the early 1960s, and it never stopped from there. Sadie Vimmerstedt didn't just go on the radio in Cleveland. She went all around the world and sent Johnny Mercer and Tony Bennett postcards from her various travels. That is one of the great revenge songs. You know, any songwriter should be able to write a love song, but to be able to write a revenge song is something else, because when love goes wrong, that's the way a lot of people feel. Johnny Mercer wrote two of the all-time greatest revenge songs. That was the second one. The best part of three decades earlier, he'd written his first one. This is a terrific number.
So you met someone who sets you back on your heels. Goody, goody, you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody, you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little pieces. Now how do you do? Hey, you lie awake just singing the blues all night. Goody, goody, you think that love's a barrel of dynamite. Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to you. Goody, goody for him, goody, goody for me. And I hope you're satisfied, 'cause you got yours.
Yeah, I hope you're satisfied. Those were a few goody-goodies from the Johnny Mercer catalogue, just for openers. Too Marvelous for Words, That Old Black Magic, Hooray for Hollywood, Jeepers Creepers, Moon River, on and on. He was from Savannah, Georgia. That's where he was born in 1909. His forebear was Hugh Mercer of Aberdeen, who had attended to the Scottish wounded at the Battle of Culloden back in 1746, and because he'd turned out to be on the wrong side of that war, he was obliged to get out of Scotland in a bit of a hurry and washed up in the American colonies. His daughter, by the way, his daughter married a man called Patton, and as a result, Johnny Mercer and General Patton turned out to be distant cousins. I always wondered whether they knew that back in the days when General Patton's men were listening to Johnny Mercer's great wartime songs like G.I. Jive. A lot of distinguished military men in the Mercer family. Another forebear was a brigadier general under General Washington in the Revolutionary War. But by the time Johnny was born in Savannah, his father was a prosperous lawyer and they had a comfortable middle-class upbringing. So very different from a lot of the other big-time songwriters, the Gershwins, Irving Berlin, Yip Harburg, all of whom grew up as poor immigrant Jews on the Lower East Side of New York. Johnny Mercer had a very different background, and it gave a very different colour to the songs he wrote. One man who understood that, by the way, was Clint Eastwood. Clint made a film of the most successful book set in Savannah in recent years, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. And he decided to combine this huge, big-selling book set in Savannah with Savannah's most famous musical son and use all Johnny Mercer songs in the picture. And in between getting in all these big-time stars to come in and do their Johnny Mercer song for the soundtrack of his movie set in Savannah, Clint decided to get a piece of the singing action himself. So here's Clint Eastwood singing Johnny Mercer.
You got accent, you ate the positive and elim, and ate the negative and latch on to the affirmative and don't mess with Mercer in between. You gotta spread joy up to the maximum and bring bloom down to the minimum and have faith or pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene.
Clint Eastwood sings Johnny Mercer, accentuate the positive. Mercer got that phrase from the revivalist preacher Father Divine, who used it in a sermon. And it tickled Mercer's fancy, and he scribbled it down on a piece of paper and made a note to put it in a song when the moment was right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch onto the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Mercer planted those words in the American vernacular. That is the very highest form of songwriting. Big, fat words and phrases that land on those notes and stick in your head for all time. That's a terrific song. In fact, although it has its origins in, as I said, a revivalist preacher, in his religious temperament, Mercer was a more or less conventional Episcopalian. But as a young man growing up in Savannah, he did have a rebellious streak, and in his teens he decided he was going to go to New York and break into show business. And he stowed away on a ship out of Savannah, gets out to sea, and they discover him and decide to put him to work in the hold. And he doesn't want to work in the hold, he has a miserable time, but eventually the ship gets to New York, and now he's going to break into show business. And he goes to audition for a show called The Garrick Gaieties. And they tell him, sorry, we don't need any actors. What we need is material. Can you write songs? And so he thinks about it, and he goes away for a couple of days and comes back with what would be Johnny Mercer's first professional song.
And this is the first song. Mine's a hopeless case, but there's one saving grace. Anyone would feel as I do. Out of breath and scared to death of you. Love was first divined, then explored and defined. Still the old sensation is new. Out of breath and scared to death of you. It takes all the strength that I can call to my command to hold your hand. I would speak at length about the love that should be made, but I'm afraid. Hercules and such never bothered me much. All you have to do is say boo. I'm out of breath and scared to death of you.
And that's where it began, at the end of the 1920s in the Garrick Gaieties, a song by Everett Miller and Johnny Mercer, introduced in that show by Sterling Holloway, who went on to provide the voice of Winnie the Pooh in the Disney movies. Wasn't a big hit, but it got some attention and it got Johnny Mercer on his way. Among those early hits he had in the first years of the 1930s, here's one that has stuck around, great favourite with female singers everywhere, fabulous torch ballad. Here it is, sung by the woman who made it a hit, Billie Holiday.
Maybe he's not much, just another man doing what he can. But what does she care when a woman loves a man? She'll just string along all through thick and thin till his ship comes in. It's always that way when a woman loves a man.
When a woman loves a man, P.S. I love you, pardon my southern accent. In those days, once you'd got a few pop hits under your belt, you generally got a call from Hollywood telling you to take the train out to the coast and come and write a picture. Johnny Mercer was lucky enough to get I'm an Old Cow Hand from the Rio Grande into a Bing Crosby movie. And from then on, he pretty much never looked back. He was a Hollywood fixture for the rest of his life. Here's a song from a forgotten movie, a Busby Berkeley extravaganza from 1937 called Ready, Willing and Able. The scene is this. There's a boss who is in love, and he's unable to put what he feels into words because there are no words to describe this woman. So the scene is that he calls in his secretary to dictate the love letter to his secretary. And of course, as things turn out, she is the object of his affection. And the scene actually begins with him saying, "My dear prospective sweetie." And then he dictates this love letter to her.
"You're just too marvelous, too marvelous for words, like glorious, glamorous, in that old standby amorous. It's all too wonderful, I'll never find the words that say enough, tell enough, I mean they just aren't swell enough. You're much too much, and just too very, very to ever be in Webster's Dictionary.
You're much too much and just too very, very to ever be in Webster's Dictionary. It's impossible to come up with the words to do justice to this woman, and yet the whole trick of this song is that Johnny Mercer manages to. Problem. Busby Berkeley was a very literal director. He made his reputation, essentially, in those numbers at Warner Brothers by just taking the song that had been handed to him and visualizing the lyrics. So when he saw what Richard Whiting and Johnny Mercer had written in Too Marvelous for Words, he decided he was going to stage the whole thing on a giant typewriter, and Ruby Keeler would tap dance over the keys, and the keys would be the chorus girls lying on their backs with their legs as the typewriter keystrokes, tapping out the words on the giant piece of paper of this love letter. The problem was he needed an extra 12 choruses of lyrics. Johnny Mercer was furious about this, and in the words of his own song, he raged, "I'll never find the words," and stormed off. But he did manage to find the words. Let's hear Michael Feinstein singing these last words of Too Marvelous for Words, because this chorus gets really dizzying as Mercer goes into the home stretch.
"You're just too marvelous for words, like rapturous, fabulous. Your voice is tintinnabulous. Much too apathistical. The sweetest words in Keats and Shelley's lyrics aren't sweet enough to be your panegyrics. And so I'm borrowing a love song from the birds to tell you you're colossal. You've made my whole life possible and too marvelous for words."
Johnny Mercer had great words. He was naturally hip, or hep, as they said back then. Although not everybody thinks so. I was once sitting around the piano with Dilly Keen of the British cabaret group Fascinating Aida. And if you remember that song we heard a bit of earlier, Satin Doll, Dilly told me that her all-time least favorite word in the entire history of popular song comes up at the end of the middle section.
"She's nobody's fool, so I'm playing it cool as can be. I'll give it a whirl, but I ain't for no girl catching me.
Switcheroonie.
Switcheroonie? Switcheroonie. That's what Johnny Mercer wanted to say, so he said it. Even if Dilly Keane doesn't care for it. Dilly and I went on, we were talking about Dilly's theory that there's no music in British place names, that that's why there are no great town songs, the way America has terrific town songs and state songs. And she was saying there's no music in British town names. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you can't write a song about Ipswich, can you? So I, as I said, we were sitting at the piano, so I just went, well, I'm nobody's fool, because I'm playing it cool as can be. I'll give it a whirl, but I ain't for no girl catching me. Ipswich-a-rooney. But she's right. She's right on the basic point. The ability to hear music in place names, to find the romance in the map, is something very American. And Johnny Mercer certainly tapped into that.
From Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe, wherever the four winds they might blow, I've been in some big towns and I heard me some big talk, but there is one thing I know.
As it happens, though, late in his career, Johnny Mercer did make a spirited attempt to find the music in British town names. Listen to this.
Manchester and Dorchester and Chichester and Perth, sailing on the Firth of Forth, or is it Forth of Firth? Wappington on Battersea, the Shire of my birth, in a thatched home of modest worth, unpaid for. Birmingham and Nottingham and Sandringham and Crewe, Shrewsbury and Tewkesbury and Shaftesbury and Loo.
Not quite the same, is it? One reason why Johnny Mercer had such a great feel for the American landscape is that he hated flying. So he went everywhere by train, obviously between Hollywood and New York on business, but all over the rest of the map too. He happened to see the name of this railroad company on the side of a train one day, and he wrote it down and thought it would make a great title for a song, which he eventually wrote for a movie with Harry Warren. And his own record of this song was the biggest selling hit he ever had, number one for 8 weeks in 1945.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Here she comes. Ooh, hey Jim, you better get the rig. She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
All aboard!
And they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel. I always loved that line as a kid. Now, here's an entirely different kind of train song. I took a trip on a train and I thought about you.
I passed a shadowy lane and I thought about you. Two or three cars parked under the stars, a winding stream, moon shining down on some little town, and with each beam the same old dream. And every stop that we made, oh, I thought about you. And when I pulled down the shade, then I really felt blue. I peeked through the crack and looked at the track, the one going back to you. And what did I do? I thought about you.
But you know, even when the song isn't a train song per se, You'll often find in a Johnny Mercer lyric that there's a train in there somewhere.
Now the rains are falling, hear the train a-calling, ooh-ee. My mama done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blowing across the trestle, ooh-ee. My mama done told me, a-hoo-ee, da-hoo-ee. Oh, clickety-clacks echoing back the blues in the night.
Hear that lonesome whistle blowing across the trestle. He did, he always did. Here's another train that is passing through a Johnny Mercer lyric, this time in one of his great ballads.
And you see Laura on the train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a dream.
And you'll see Laura on a train that is passing through. That's an early example of a kind of lyric that would come to dominate Johnny Mercer's later work. Very elliptical, very elusive, like you're trying to recapture some half-lost memory that keeps swimming out of focus. Before we explore that side of him, let's put a postscript on this train song business. Johnny Mercer loved to ride trains, he loved to write about trains, and when he wasn't writing train songs of his own, he loved to sing other people's train songs. Here he is with Bobby Darin, dusting off an old novelty number by Albert von Tilser and Leo Robin from the 1920s.
Sounds like a train song, if you ask me.
My cutie's due at 2:22. She's coming through on a big choo-choo.
That should be train.
She's been away for months, but I haven't cheated once.
Oh, come now,
stayed darling. Home nights. Didn't dance.
Got two left feet.
I wasn't taking any chance. Didn't flirt, and you know that hurt. But I just couldn't do my cutie dirt.
You're an honorable lad.
Days were blue and nights were black. But I just knew she'd come back. Cause I love her, and she loves me. And say,
I would say that she's a very good girl.
Don't think there ain't no Santa Claus. I know darn well there is. Cuties do at 2:22 today.
You tell a wonderful story, John, you really do.
Johnny Mercer loved goofy little songs like that. You can't talk about Mercer's sense of place without talking about the three-word phrase that sums it all up. From Moon River, wading round the bend, my huckleberry friend. Henry Mancini told me about the chills he got when he first heard that line, when Mercer sang him the lyric for the first time in a deserted ballroom at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel where Mancini was rehearsing an orchestra. It obviously evokes Mark Twain, Huckleberry Finn, the Mississippi River, all of that. There's something else in there, too, that Mercer could never quite articulate. When he grew up around Savannah in Georgia, there was a river where there were always wild bushes, blackberries, strawberries, and huckleberries. And somehow, some vague childhood memory of being a boy and loafing along and goofing around down by the river stuck in his head. And that phrase popped up just when it was needed. Now, Mancini and Mercer wrote the song for Audrey Hepburn to sing on the fire escape in New York in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. And it's a terrific scene in that picture. But it didn't seem that way at the time.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style. They had a preview of this picture, Breakfast at Tiffany's, in San Francisco. And they had one of those conferences afterwards.
didn't go too well, because it was a big hit, but it didn't go too well at this preview. So the producer, Marty Rackin, said, well, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I'll tell you one thing, that damn song can go. Dee-da-da-dee-da. The same rainbows and waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend, Moon River and me.
Actually, as Henry Mancini told it to me, Marty Rackin didn't say that damn song can go, but something rather more forceful. He was wrong. The song's great in the picture. It won the Oscar that year, and Andy Williams' record, which we heard at the top of the show, was a huge smash, and 1,000 other singers sang the song. There's a problem when a great song gets to be that big a hit, when it's everywhere, when it's playing in every elevator, when it's playing on every telephone when you call up to make a dentist appointment. You forget how great it is. Terry Teachout, the critic, in his appreciation of his friend Nancy Lamott, made an interesting point a few years ago. Nancy had said to him that the problem with a song like Moon River is that even though everyone knows it's a great song, they think, well, who needs to hear that again? And that's the difficulty with a really good song, is trying to sing it so that people hear it again for the first time, as it were. Terry Teachout thought Nancy Lamott had pulled it off, and it's hard to disagree.
Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way. To drifters off to sea, we're after the same rainbows and waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend, Moon
Nancy Lamott. That's Nancy's Moon River from her CD of Johnny Mercer songs. And that's where we'll leave it for part one of our audio introduction to the Johnny Mercer catalogue. Join us later this week at Stein Online for part two, including Johnny Mercer for the Birds, Johnny Mercer by the Seasons, and Johnny Mercer Saloon Songs, plus a lot more. And join us in our regular format in print as we look in depth at Mercer songs such as Autumn Leaves, Midnight Sun, and One for My Baby, and One More for the Road. All coming up during Mercer Month, all this month, at Stein Online, celebrating the little old tunes and the little old words of Johnny Mercer.
You had not come in and sang just a little tune.